Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Doug Duin, and joining me today is Jacintha Syed, co-founder of Saving Great Animals. Jacintha, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, you're the co-founder of this great organization. I'd really love to know, what was the impetus for starting Saving Great Animals?
Well, what many people might not know is that there are millions of dogs every year who lose their lives in shelters, who are abandoned, neglected, abused, simply unwanted. And it is important as a community that we consider adopting a dog before we try and purchase a very expensive puppy from a breeder. So there's a real need there. There's a misconception that rescue dogs are somehow broken, or, you know, you don't want to get one because you don't know what you'll be getting. And those things really aren't true. So it's really our mission to make sure that these dogs that have been forgotten by many people are given a second chance to find a forever home.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I agree with what you said about the fear of the animal maybe not fitting with you, which we'll get to that. But you do have a grace period in the adoption process, correct?
We do. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's so important because, you know, personalities have to get along. And I think that's great. So let's talk about the entire process with Saving Great Animals. I want to know from the very beginning to the rehoming process. So let's start with, how does it work with you rescuing dogs and with animal surrender?
Yeah. So our dogs come to us from all kinds of different situations. We have dogs that are surrendered to us by their owner. For some reason, a dog sometimes cannot stay in the home that it's in. And very often that's not because of any fault of the dog. You know, the owner may have gotten divorced, or they're moving, or they've had a baby, and, you know, things happen in people's lives that make it impossible for them to continue to look after an animal. There's no judgment on our part. These things happen. And then we assist in helping to find that animal a new home. We have families reaching out to us because the owner may have passed away and the family does not have the ability to take possession of the animal. We also have many dogs coming to us from abandonment, from neglect, particularly in the rural areas of our state. Sadly, there are many dogs that are simply left by the side of the road or thrown into an orchard or surviving in a drain pipe somewhere. And then on top of that, we also partner with shelters. We have a very overcrowded shelter system where dogs are losing their lives on a daily basis. And those shelters reach out for help and they say, listen, we are so full that we have to make space. And there's only two ways to do that. One is to get an animal out, transferring to a rescue. And the other one is to euthanize the animals that are simply not getting adopted. So all of our dogs come from situations where, through no fault of their own, they were let down. They're not broken. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. Of course, there are dogs that have some behavioral problems because of the life that they lived previously. And that is where the next step of our process comes in. We have a very extensive rehabilitation process. Our dogs come into foster homes. We are not a shelter-based organization. Shelters are necessary, but we feel that preparing a dog for adoption in a foster home is the best way to go. Because the dog can be in a place where they can feel comfortable. We can get to know their personalities. We can work on whatever issues they may have. And then we can get them ready to find their new family.
Can you tell me a little bit about the rehabilitation process? I know that you have a program or a partner called Doug's Place. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So we are primarily a foster-based organization, but we do also sometimes get dogs who are not quite ready to go to a foster home. Unfortunately, we do get dogs that simply are not well socialized. For example, we have a puppy right now. She's 5 months old. Her name is Chloe. She was found in a ditch somewhere in rural Washington, clearly has never lived with people and is just terrified of our presence. A dog like that won't do well in a foster home, because if you can't safely handle a dog, put a leash on them, get them to go potty, pick them up and do all these things with them, then that's not a good situation. So for that purpose, we created a rehabilitation space called Doug's Place. Doug's place is a small two-bedroom house that is like a permanent foster home, but our staff is there 24/7, and we work with the dogs on, whatever behavioral concerns they have. So with Chloe, for example, she is now at Doug's place, and we have cadres of volunteers, including our staff, sitting with her, reading to her, playing music for her, and just giving her time to get used to our presence. And once she starts getting to be a little bit more comfortable, then we go to the next level of socialization that she might need. We might teach her how to wear a harness or put a leash on. And then when she's ready, she can graduate the Doug's Place program and move into a foster home and spend some time there before finally getting adopted. So Doug's Place really is our rehabilitation program, and we've seen some wonderful, wonderful transformations. And those dogs, they all get adopted. They do very well, provided that they are given the care and attention that they need.
Now, I know it's got to be a tough ask to choose between one, and I'm not going to ask you, but I would have to think that watching these dogs' growth into being rehabilitated and the rehoming process are probably like one and 1A of moments that bring you joy, because
Absolutely.
I seeing the growth in these animals has to be just overwhelming. And then you get to see the next step, the rehoming. Can you talk about how that works, the process, if somebody's looking to rescue a dog, what they would have to do?
Yeah, when we've cleared a dog behaviorally and medically, because we also get a lot of medical cases, dogs with broken bones or, something that's wrong with them. Once they've been cleared medically and behaviorally, we list them for adoption on our website. And then anyone interested in looking for a dog can read that dog's profile, and they can reach out to us and say, "Hey, I think this is the dog for me. Can I meet this dog?" We then review the application, we have a conversation with the applicant, and then we set up a meet and greet in the foster's home. So the applicant comes to the foster's home, they can see how that particular dog adapts and lives and breeds in that home. So you get a pretty good picture of who that dog is and what they are like. And then if that goes well and the person wants to move forward with adoption, the next step in our process is a 2-week trial adoption, because we realize that when you meet a dog for, an hour or whatever it may be, you don't really have enough information to know for sure whether that dog is the right match for you. So we have a 2-week trial adoption process. Sometimes it's 3 weeks, sometimes it's a month, just depending on, what issues need to be worked through. And the purpose of the trial adoption really is for the adopter to figure out, is this a dog that I can have in my home long term? So it's kind of like a test drive that you do. If that trial adoption goes well, only at that point do we have you sign an adoption contract and pay an adoption fee. During the trial adoption period, we have a trainer on staff who is available to our trial adopters to help work on any issues that might occur. And then when everything goes well, we sign the adoption contract after the trial adoption.
This is also great. It sounds like you're so much more hands-on with the process of rehoming these animals than most people.
Well, because we feel that very often the reason a dog cannot stay in its original home is because there's some kind of mismatch there to begin with, right? Like I said earlier, shelters are absolutely a necessary service in our community. The challenge is if you go to a shelter where a dog is in a kennel, and you say, "I want to take that dog home," you take that dog home without having a lot of information about that dog. And the shelter is also not going to be there to support you with training or answering questions or anything like that. You're now home with this dog. And many people suddenly have the realization that, oh, maybe this is not the dog for me because I'm realizing that this dog has more energy than I'm able to give, or maybe it doesn't like my cat, or maybe it's reactive on leash and I'm not well set up to know how to deal with that. And so we want to make sure that when you bring a new living, breathing being into your family, that living, breathing being is a source of joy for you in your home and not a source of stress. I mean, it's to be expected that any dog that joins a new family is going to struggle a little bit, right? It's a new place. They're going to be a little bit confused and unsettled. But generally speaking, there should be an innate match there that you only really know, you know, if that match is there, if you've lived with that dog for a period of time. And so that's why our approach, you know, it's more involved, more time consuming, more hands on. But at the end of the day, our success rate with placements is a lot higher. Plus, I think, you know, adopting a dog from a rescue like ours can give you a little bit of confidence that you're making the right choice and you're not going to get stuck with a dog that really isn't the right one for you.
Yeah, I've had many, many pets in my lifetime. And the issue is you fall in love first and then you find out if you can cohabitate together. And I've been very fortunate that every animal that I've ever had, we've gotten along great. But there is a period of adjustment. There's like a week or two, definitely, where you're feeling each other out and you're learning each other's, you know, the animal's learning about you as much as you are learning about it.
Absolutely. And we've had dogs on trial adoption where the family, after 3 or 4 days, comes back to us and they're like, we don't know. This wasn't the right decision. We need to give the dog back. No judgment. We would rather know now than, you know, 6 months from now. So yeah, we really support people in making mindful decisions about bringing a dog into their home.
And then, of course, this only happens through the help of foster families. So let's talk about that. If somebody's listening right now and they want to be involved in this program, how does one go about becoming a foster family?
So our fosters typically, you know, are already dog loving people and they find us on social media or they find us on our website, savinggreatanimals.org, and they fill out a foster application and then they go through an onboarding process. So we have conversations with our foster families because, you know, fostering is a really wonderful and rewarding thing to do. But we're also very clear that it's not always easy because some of the dogs that we get come from places where they weren't treated very nicely or they arrive smelly and stinky. So you do have to have a certain amount of flexibility, I guess, is what it is. To be able to take an animal in like that and to be patient with that animal as it settles into the new space. The good news is that as an organization, we truly value the partnership with our fosters so much. We support our fosters 24/7, whether it's with behavioral support. You know, if you're having issues, our trainer is right there. We have staff that you can call or text. We provide our fosters with training. We have a whole community website with training resources. We run training classes for our foster families. Also, we provide any and all medical care to our fosters. And of course, that is all paid for. We supply you with whatever you may need, whether it's a crate, a harness, a leash, a collar, toys, food. You don't have to pay for anything. If you're fostering a dog and the dog needs to see the vet and you are at work and you can't do it, we have volunteers who will help with that also. So we try to be very, very supportive to our foster families because they play such a huge and crucial role in the rehoming process. And I think the other part that our fosters really value is that when it's time for a dog to find a forever home, we really take our foster's voice into account. In fact, I would go as far as to say that our fosters have final veto about when a dog gets placed or where a dog gets placed. Because when you've cared for and loved this dog that's been in your home for X amount of time, you want to feel really good about where that dog is going to get adopted to. Mm-hmm. And so we listen very carefully to our foster families. And if at any point in the process they're not comfortable, then it ends there.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to have a very involved and very engaged foster community. Generally speaking, people have a great time with it. Of course, we do have situations where a foster is like, ugh, I took on more than I can handle. And then we move that dog right away because we don't want people to be stressed out.
Of course. And of course, all of these services you're providing they cost money, they cost man hours. Mm-hmm. So how can people help? Do you need volunteers? And if so, what would they be doing? Sponsors or just donations? Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, so our funding comes all from donations. We get some small grants, but primarily it's donations. So we appreciate the support from our community. And if you're interested in donating, you can always do that via our website, savinggreatanimals.org. We also invite people to become volunteers. For example, as I mentioned earlier, Chloe, who's at Doug's Place, we have volunteers visiting with her just to get her used to the presence of people. And it's not just Chloe. There's dozens of dogs like her. So shifts at Doug's Place is one way to volunteer. We typically have volunteers at places like adoption events. We have volunteers that transport dogs to the vet for us. Many, many things that you can do. We're always looking for sponsors, especially sponsorships for our large fundraising events like the Bark Benefit that's coming up on September 12th. Those events, you know, are crucial to our ability to do our work, but they also cost money to put on. So having sponsorships really helps us to offset those costs. And then just, you know, we appreciate the people who make monthly donations. A small donation every month can make an enormous difference for us. It doesn't have to be hundreds of dollars. Even if you donate $10 a month, if everybody would donate $10 a month, we would be able to have a whole year of funding taken care of. So every bit helps.
Yeah, of course. And so, you know, you did mention it, the Bark Benefit is one of your biggest events of the year. Tell me about that and how do people go? How do people help donate to this event?
Yeah. So the Bark Benefit is our annual fundraiser. I'm sure most people are familiar with the formula. We have a live auction. We have a silent auction. We have a fund to need portion. It typically is a really fun event. It's hosted by Jody Brothers. And we have an auctioneer separately. Also, we typically have about 350 people who attend, and it's just a fabulous night. If you love dogs and you like hearing, you know, feel good stories about dogs and the work that we do, it's really a great night to come to. You can purchase a ticket for it on our website, savinggreatanimals.org. You can make a donation also, like an auction item, or you can donate if you're not able to come to the event. As I mentioned, sponsorships are always appreciated. It's a great event, and it's the main event that keeps our funding going for the year. This year's Bark Benefit is on September 12th at the Hyatt in Bellevue. It's a new location for us, so we're excited.
Yeah, and of course, all of this information is on your website, savinggreatanimals.org, correct?
Correct.
Jacintha, I really appreciate your time today, but before I let you go, is there any lasting message you would like people listening right now to take with them today?
Yes. Unfortunately, we are really experiencing a crisis in the rescue and shelter world. And many people may not know this, but we have never, in all of my years of doing rescue, have seen it this bad. The number of dogs in need is simply astounding. If you are considering bringing an animal into your home, whether it's a cat, whether it's a dog or any other animal, please consider adoption. We don't want any more animals to lose their lives. The problem is overwhelming right now. If you're not looking to bring a dog into your home, perhaps you consider fostering. Temporary fostering saves lives. I know it's a cliche. You hear it all the time. Adopt, don't shop. Fostering saves lives. But just because it's cliche doesn't make it any less true. Really think about the animals in our community and they need you.
Yeah. Jacintha, thank you so much for your time today.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. Conversations is a public affairs program of this station.